Where we're teaching a skill and we're teaching character and we're teaching camaraderie and we're teaching personal discipline and character and growth. But I pray that this time will assist that as we take and gaze at your word and look at what you have for us in your word. We pray that you will be with my words and that your Holy Spirit will do the work in hearts that we may leave here better for the time that we have listened carefully to the word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Talked a little bit about skill. One of the things I learned this year, I actually took a class on writing papers, thesis writing, and I've been out of school for a long time, and I have not written any papers that I had graded for a long time. Usually the papers I write, I give to somebody, and they edit them, and it looks really good when I'm done, you know. And we have a camp. We're working on writing a few different books. We're actually working on 5 books in the end. We've got 3 done. They're called heritage booklets, and it's where your parents take you through the important lessons that they would like to communicate with you. And it's something we do at a heritage camp, and we just came to the conclusion we needed to write these so parents would have these and they wouldn't have to come to a camp to get them. And so that's something that I'm doing. So I thought I should probably continue learning. And so I began to do that. And that's what I began to think about. What they did is you would take your topic and then you would try to figure out all of the words in the Bible that connected back to that topic. And so maybe my topic was gifts, and then you would look up gifts, and with gifts you might, so a gift is something that is freely given, okay, with really no strings attached, right? And it is transference of property. And so you have all of these words, and all of a sudden you're like, property, giving, transferring ownership. And all of a sudden you have all these concepts going. It's kind of like what I was doing with you today. There's a vocabulary that comes with almost any hobby or anything you do. If you do knots, there is a language of knots. And I gave you just a few of them today. And we talked about, does anybody remember some of the language of knots? What's something that's unique to knots? Okay, what's that? Yeah, so binding, does it bind? Yes? Yes? Okay, you have the core, okay? The sheath is the outside. Actually, what the core is made of is really the strength of the rope. And depending on what you're doing, you've got to get a rope that will endure the pressure that you're going to put on it. The ropes that we use down at the edge, you can pull a car out of a ditch with those ropes. Because of the type of core, they have 7 strands wrapped with a sheath, and they are a dynamic rope, and that means they will give a little bit, okay? So a dynamic rope will give a little bit. Yes? A bite, okay? Most of you probably didn't think of a bite when it came to knots, did you? You didn't think, knots, oh, grab a bite. But if you do much adventure, you're going to get into ropes. If you get into rappelling or ascending, or you get into things like just transferring canoes, or you're going on a backtrack trip and you've got to hang your packs because bears are going to get in your food. So one of the things I like to do is backpack. One time, we backpacked the Grand Canyon. And we had gone into the ranger station for our permits to go and stay at Phantom Ranch in the Grand Canyon. And there's 3 of us there. And they said, oh, you know what? It almost never rains in the Grand Canyon. So if I were you, leave your tent, drop the weight, and when you're packing, weight is everything. Okay, weight is everything. So lose the weight of the tent. And we thought, that sounds really good. We're going to do that. So we dropped our tents. Okay, and we get to the bottom of the Grand Canyon, and guess what was happening? It was raining. And we're like, okay, they're probably up there going, oh, we got those suckers, you know. But we're in the canyon now, and it's raining, and we're getting ready for bed, and we're thinking, wow, it'd be nice if we had a tent right now. But what we did is I crawled underneath a picnic table, okay? Me and my buddy crawled underneath the picnic table, and the adult that was with us, he just laid on the table. He's like, I can't get out of the rain. So he just laid on the top of the table, and we camped out. So that next morning, I woke up in the Grand Canyon, not far from Phantom Ranch, sleeping under a picnic table with a skunk sleeping on my chest. Curled up right here, beautiful little skunk. And and there's this little kitty with a stripe on my chest. And I thought, hey, would somebody... No, let me rephrase this. Don't get excited, but would somebody help get this skunk off my chest? Joel, who's next to me, goes, skunk! You know, skunk! And I'm like, the one thing I didn't want him to do. He sits up, forgetting where's he at? Under a table. What kind of table? Concrete. Okay, wham! Wham! Okay, so he's dropping back down. I'm thinking, you know, I'm going to get sprayed. And the skunk's thinking, that was a nice night rest. He got up, and for the best of my memory, it was kind of like a, you know how the cats and the dogs kind of stretch after? That was kind of what the skunk did. It was like, get up, stretch out, and walk away. And it was like, thanks for the bed. It was great. So I have slept with a skunk. Okay? And I just tell you that that on those times, in those trips, you have to prepare for the unexpected. Okay? And the more you do it, now, ask me the next time I go to the Grand Canyon, am I taking a tent? Yes. Absolutely. Every time. Every time. You know? And so I take a tent now. Why? Because I know that in unique situations, I have to be prepared for what I cannot see, what I don't know. What I'd like to talk to you today is about the language of the wise and being prepared for the most important challenges of your life. Okay? What does the language of the wise sound like? Go to Proverbs 24, would you? Turn in your Bibles to Proverbs 24. Language of the wise. We're going to do this. Each day we're going to just learn, like we learn bite and core, we're going to learn the words of the wise. Because a wise person always gives themselves away in their speech. And you know a wise person by what they're saying. Okay? Proverbs 24. Let's start with verse 3. It says here, through wisdom is a house builded, and by understanding it is established. Okay? So the thoughts there is, through wisdom, somebody can build a house, right? What are some of the things that it takes in building a house? Has anybody been a part of construction? Have you guys ever been a part of? Okay, what's something that goes into building a house? Foundation. Okay, foundation, right? There's a lot of money in things that you cannot see, right? Plumbing and, yeah, foundation's really important. And all of that groundwork, yes. Planning, yes. What are we gonna build? Where's the bathrooms? And is there room for walls in the house? Right? So you have to have a planning. How big are my rooms? Okay, someone else, what goes into building a house? Permits. What's that? Permits. Yeah, because we have a place that says, you don't have a permit, take it down. Yeah, we actually have to. Why? They do it because they want a house that's built that will weather the storms, that the people who are in it are safe. So through wisdom, a house is built. So there's planning, okay? There's planning from the ground up, from the outside in, okay? So through wisdom, a house is built. And then it says here, and by understanding, it is established. Well, that's really interesting. The idea of establishing a house is this idea that it is set in such a way that it will endure the testing. It will continue to weather the storm. Yes. And water. Of course. Water and sewer and electricity. Right? We need a few things. Oh, endure water? Is that what you're thinking? Or water in the house?
Like water.
Okay, water in the house. Yep. Okay, so this is, we got this. Through wisdom is a house builded, and by understanding it is established, and by knowledge shall all the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. You know what? it takes knowledge to know what I should put into a house and what I shouldn't put into a house, right? And so there's a number of things going on here. And then you see here, it says here, and this is really powerful to me, a wise man is strong. Okay, a person who's embraced wisdom is a strong person. How many like riding a strong horse? Right? Yeah. How many like a horse that can do barrels well? Oh, that's one of my favorite things with Shodio, the barrels. When you can really let it go and let it run. I love watching rodeos and the barrel riders. It's just so cool. But when you think here, it says here, a wise man is strong, and a man of knowledge increases strength. For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in a multitude of counselors there is safety. Okay, let's stop there for a minute. What are some words that you notice here that's interesting? Got a couple of words here? We're actually building a little bit of a vocabulary in this area of wisdom. A wise person is what? Strong. Have you ever thought of somebody who's really smart as a strong person? We don't usually the strong people are the guys in the gym and not the guys on the computer, right? We call the guys on the computer the geeks. We call the guys in the gym the athletes, right? I mean, so that's usually, we don't usually think, huh, but when you have true wisdom, a wise person is actually strong. And one of the things I want you to recognize is you will need strength in your life, and the strength that you need comes not from your muscles, but from wisdom, okay? What is wisdom? Wisdom is the skill in using knowledge in God's world. Okay? Is the skill of using knowledge in God's world to accomplish God's tasks. Okay? So, skill of knowledge. Now, we've got three words here that we're starting to see here. Okay? We see, and I'm going to use a little bit different word. There's a number of words. First, we have knowledge. Then we have understanding, right? Okay, knowledge. Okay, a wise man is strong, and knowledge increases strength. The more I know, the stronger I can get. There's an upside here that's really important. And then it says here, for by counsel. This is the interesting thing, is a wise person knows when to ask somebody else for something that they don't have. Okay? And so for by counsel, okay, let's go back here. For by wise counsel, not just counsel, thou shalt make thy war. Okay, war. You know, really, life is, the Bible talks about in Ephesians, that we are actually in a war against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world. There is a war going on. And he says here, a wise man, through wise counsel, shall make war. And then listen to what it says here. There's a really weird word at the end of this one. And in a multitude of counselors, there is safety. Okay, do you usually think war and safety? Right? You think war and death, right? You think war and guns. You think war and devastation. You think war and, you know, you think about the scorched earth things that they would do. They would, like, many times people, when they were losing their place, instead of leaving something behind, the Russians would use a scorched earth policy, so the people that come behind them, they get nothing but burnt. Okay, so you don't usually think war and safety. But here, wisdom takes a person and brings him to a place of safety in a dangerous engagement. That's powerful. So I want you to begin to start thinking about the value of wisdom. Okay, now, I want to take a little bit here. So wisdom is the skill in using knowledge. Okay, and we'll talk a little bit more about God tomorrow. But the more that I know, I can take a rope and save a life. Okay, this rope, properly used, could save somebody's life. Okay? Now, I wouldn't use a square knot to save a life. But if I wanted a rescue knot, I would use a bowline knot, or I would use a double figure eight. And this is the one that we would do next. It's the one where you go around the tree and through the hole. Okay, so this is a beautiful knot here. It's called a bowline knot, and it doesn't slip on you. So if I wrap this around somebody, I could actually pull them up. We could pull them up, and it's not going to cinch down on their chest as you pull them up and hurt them in the process. So a bowline knot is so I could actually, with a rope and with a properly used knot, I can rescue somebody who's in dangerous peril. The other one that I could use is a figure eight. I love a double figure eight, and it's one of my favorite knots. And we use this and the edge all the time. And so what's happened is I've taken a regular rope that has some value, but because of my knowledge and then my application in a certain situation, I can actually rescue somebody in peril through the skill of a knot. Amazing thought, isn't it? It's really amazing thought. So what I want you to do is these three thoughts here. I want you to think of, first of knowledge. What's knowledge? Let's talk about what's knowledge. What's knowledge? What's that? Knowing something. Okay? Knowledge is know the facts. Okay? So I've actually given you a number of facts here that you may know. Now, were you watching me? Okay, do a double figure eight. Would you please do that? I'm sorry, that's an overhand knot. She was really not watching me. I don't think she got it. You've done another overhand knot.
Never mind.
Okay, do you know what a figure eight looks like?
Yeah.
Is this it?
No.
Okay, so you know what it is, but you can't do it, right? So you have knowledge, but you don't have understanding. Okay? The difference between knowing something is I've seen it, I have the facts, I've watched somebody do it. Hey, that's a figure eight. I could actually identify that, right? So, you know, so you have, okay, so needs one more trip around, okay? So you guys can say, oh, I've seen a double figure eight. Hey, tie me one. Oh, no, couldn't do that. Why? There's a difference between knowing something that you've seen and you know that it's existing, but you don't maybe know how to do it, okay? I know what a timing belt is, but I'm not going to fix mine, okay? I know where it's at, but I'm not going to fix it. Why? Because I have knowledge without understanding, okay? And so understanding takes you to where, hey, okay, now let me see here. Who is with me on the square knot? Do a square knot for me. See it. Beautiful. Okay. You have understanding. And someday you're going to make a package and you're going to be like, I think I'm going to use a square knot on this so it doesn't bind. You know, even if it doesn't matter, you're like, I know that this one doesn't bind. It's a great knot. Okay. So there's an understanding where I'm going to use this, but I'm not going to use a square knot to rescue somebody because it'll come apart. Okay. So it's good for certain things, but not for others. And so my understanding affects my skill. Okay, my skill level, what I can do with it, okay? And then the third one is insight, okay? So knowledge is, hey, there's something called a bowline. I can do it, okay? So we've got a situation. I need to do a bowline knot. I take my knot really quick. I use my working end to go around the tree, and I come and I do a bowline. Now I can, if I have the proper equipment, I can do that, okay? So now that's my knowledge, and that has now, with understanding, becomes a skill that I can actually rescue someone. That is insight. I can take a rope and rescue somebody from a dangerous situation. It's like this. One person put it this way. Knowledge is knowing that the hike I'm going to take in the desert is 12.2 miles long. Understanding is taking all the water I need to go 12.2 miles in the desert, right? And insight is building a lemonade stand at mile six. Right? Entrepreneur, right? We can make some money at mile six, right? So that's the dynamic. So I can take a fact, and then understanding is understanding is the ability to take what I know and match it to the need of the situation. It's the ability to take what I know and use it in an application. But insight is to take a couple of different things and put it together and say, because I know this and because I know this, I can use it in a number of different situations. So my insight is, oh, I know this is 12 miles long. Somebody's going to be really thirsty mile six, and I'm going to be ready for them. Okay? So that's one of the things I really want you to begin to think. The vocabulary of the Proverbs talks about this wisdom. Now, let's jump in and let's move from Proverbs and let's look at an application of this. Let's go to 1 Kings 3. I know it's warm in here, guys. Thank you for your good attention. 1 Kings 3 says this. We're going to start in verse 4. It says, and the king, and this is King Solomon. Let's go verse 3. And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father, and he only sacrificed and burnt incense in the high places. So actually it says only he, and the idea is he walked before God in the right place, but there was a cultural habit where they were making sacrifice in the high places, and that was actually something that God had said that they were not supposed to do. They were supposed to do sacrifices only in specific places, like the temple or like the tabernacle. Okay, but we'll move on from there. And it says here, and the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for there was a great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer up upon the altar. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I shall give thee." Ask what I shall give thee. Wouldn't that be just it? God come to you, and he just says, "Ask, what shall I give you? Ask, what shall I give you?" Amazing thought. I don't think I would have asked for what Solomon asked for here. It says here, and Solomon said, "Thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept him for him this great kindness." I'm sorry. Let's back up. Okay. "According to David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and uprightness of heart with thee, and thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted. Give thy therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad, for who is able to judge this thy so great of people?" This is an amazing thought. What is some of the things that when you listen to this passage, okay, and you got to work through a little bit of the King James wording there. It's not simple at times. But what is it that you pick up on and you notice in this interaction between Solomon and God? What do you notice? Somebody? Yes. That's amazing, isn't it? Why do you think he did that? Yes? Okay? He wanted discernment. Is that what you're going to say? He wanted discernment in making choices, okay, in judging. He had a responsibility. Somebody else? He did. He did. What's the first thing? So first off, he didn't ask for himself, and he felt the weight of the responsibility of the task of being king. Now, this is my question. Where did he learn that? Yes. Do you pick up on his thankfulness? And do you pick up on the example that he sees there? He said, first thing he says here, he says, thank you for this kindness. What's the kindness? He is sitting on the throne. The kindness is, today you have made me king. But you've made me king not because of what I've done, but because of what? Yes. And God's goodness. Okay? You are responding to my dad's dedication and his faithfulness, and you are showing kindness to me for my dad's sake. You know what? A good request comes when I consider the whole picture. Too often, we go to ask or seek something, and all we're thinking about is this. But if I back up a little bit and I consider the whole picture, and what Solomon did is he was considering, hey, what has my dad done these last 40 years? Okay? And what have I learned in the process? And so he sees David passing on the throne to him, and he realizes they've just got done with a king who was great because of God's blessing, and I feel like I'm a child. I don't even know how to go out or in. Like, I don't even know how to, I don't know what fork to take when we're eating at great banquets. I don't know which door to enter. I don't know how soon to come and what to dress and what to wear. I mean, he said, I don't even know how to get in and out of this place. I feel like a child. And this is the beauty there. He recognizes his inability on his own to live up to the responsibility and the example his father set. So he starts by seeing the good picture. He starts by seeing what was given to him as an example through his father. Great place to start. He sees the big picture. God says, ask, and he says, you know what he says? What would my dad do? That's what he's saying here. What would my dad do? My dad would recognize that God is good, and he's showing me a kindness. And he's not showing it because I deserve it, but because it's a kindness for what my father did in faithfulness to God. It's a reward. And I am responsible, and I am serving God's people here. And so he realizes he's not enamored with the position. He's actually overwhelmed by the responsibility of the king. He has a servant's mindset. He's actually already demonstrating wisdom. His humility here allows him to think beyond his selfishness. And he says here, what I really need, I just need to have the discernment to make good judgments in this role that you have given me. Oh, to have said that if I was in that situation. And what does God say? Let's take a look here. What's God say? And he says here to him, and he says here, and the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing and not asked for thyself long life, neither has asked riches for thy life, nor has asked for the life of thine enemies, but has asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart. Okay, what's understanding? Okay, understanding is the ability to take the facts and with it use the facts in a skillful way to address the current situation's needs. Okay? So I'm going to take the knowledge that I've been given, and with understanding, I'm going to take what I know and apply it to this situation in an appropriate way. Mr. Sam likes to say this, appropriate is when content, what I do, matches the context. Okay? And so here he's like, I want to do the right thing. I want my actions to reflect what the context of the situation is. I need an under... So God says, I'm going to give you an understanding heart. I'm going to give you understanding and then the ability to have great insight. Why? Because you ask wisely. Then he says this, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee, and I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked for, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like thee until all unto thee all thy days. And if thou, this is conditional, the first two things are not conditional. And then he says this, and if thou wilt walk in my ways and to keep my statutes and my commandments, as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days. And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream, and he came to Jerusalem. Now, this is interesting. Before, he's sacrificing at the high places, not what he's supposed to be doing. Now, after God has given him an understanding heart, where does he go sacrifice? At Jerusalem, at the appropriate place where God had done this. So already you see a change in his behavior. And then, and it says, and stood before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and offered up burnt offerings and offered peace offerings and made a feast to all his servants. And then we see the life application. And in the very next verse, it says this, then came there two women that were harlots unto the king and stood before him. And the one woman said, O my Lord, I and this woman dwell in one house. And I was delivered of a child with her in the house. And it came to pass the third day after I was delivered that this woman was delivered also. And we were together, and there was no stranger with us in the house, save we two in the house. And this woman's child died in the night because she overlaid it. Basically, she turned over and smothered her baby that was in her arms. Okay? And she rose at midnight and took my son from beside me while the handmaid slept and laid it in her bosom, brought it to her chest and laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I arose in the morning to give my child suck, behold, it was dead. But when I considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my son, which I did bear. And the other woman said, nay, but the living is my son, and the dead is thy son. And this said, no, but the dead is thy son, and the living is my son. Thus they spake before the king. This is what he was nervous about. What he's nervous about is, what do I do in a situation that affects lives, that affects life and death? What do I do? This is quite a situation here. Two ladies living together in a place have babies just a few days apart. Babies are of the same age. Probably the only one that knows the difference between the babies is the mother. And one mother, when she's sleeping, happens to roll over on her child, and the baby dies. And she thinks, I'm going to swap this one out. I'm not going to have a dead baby. And she carefully trades places, trades babies. And in the morning, when the mother went to take care of her baby, she realized, this baby's not alive, and this baby's not my baby. So she goes before the king, and they go and they present their case. And this is where Solomon's at. Bet he was glad that he asked for wisdom. Huh? Ask what I will give thee. And this is what Solomon said. And the king said, bring me a sword. And they brought a sword before the king. And the king said, divide the living child in two and give half to each one, half to the one and half to the other. Then spake the woman whose the living child was unto the king, for her bowels or her heart yearned upon her upon her son, and she said, O my Lord, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. But the other woman said, let it be neither mine nor thine, but divide it. Then the king answered and said, give her the living child and in no wise slay it. She is the mother. And all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had judged, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment. Isn't that powerful? Wisdom is strong. A wise man is strong. A man of knowledge increases strength. And you see here the dynamic of, if you want wisdom, what we need to do is we need to ask. Now, don't wait for a dream, because we can go to James, and the Bible says in James 1, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth all to all men liberally. And the place for you to start, and I just want to talk this week about the value of wisdom and what wisdom is like. And we see here the vocabulary of the wise. We also see the vocabulary of the compassionate. The king said, I have the answer, bring a sword. We'll just cut the baby in half. We'll just split it down the middle. And we'll give a piece to each. There's a problem with that. Hard to live in half, right? It's hard to live in half. And the one mother said, no, you don't need to do that. And the mother said, yeah, I think that's a good idea. And she gave herself away. And what I want you to know is, you give yourself away by the words that you use. You give yourself away by the words that you use. And this week, what I want to do is I want to take the time to build the picture of the value of wisdom. And the place that you start in being wise is to ask for it, is to desire it. The first place in order to be wise is to desire wisdom and ask for it. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for the things that you showed us in the Word. Lord, I thank you for these words. There's so many words to wisdom. We are just really beginning this, but we see three. We see knowledge, we see understanding, and we see insight. We see the ability to see in a situation that's not obvious. Lord, we know wisdom isn't obvious all the time, and the right way is not always clear. And yet, with you, we can know the right way. Lord, I pray that as we take a look this week of wisdom, that this group would say, my desire this week is to learn to be wise. And I pray for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Every head bowed and every eye closed, I just want to ask one thing of you. How many would say this week, I want to take the time to really consider the fact that I need wisdom in my life, and I really want to say, this is something I desire, and this week I'm going to give an honest effort at developing a skill for using knowledge appropriately. I mean, say, that's me. I desire wisdom, and this week I'm going to pray and ask God to help me to be wise starting today. Okay? I'm going to pray for you. If you raised your hand, I'll pray for you. Lord, do you see the hands? We pray today that you will hear this desire for wisdom, and I pray today that this will be the start, that they begin to see the value of wisdom and take the steps to obtain it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. That is the message for today. Mr. Stephen, do you have instructions for us?